This is the Saturday Night Live, Day of Sobriety number 22, held June 4th, 1994, at El Paseo Shopping Center, room 120 in San Jose, California. This tape is of the sponsorship panel meeting. The members of the panel were James D., Terry W., Joanna M., and Jim B. The original recording of this meeting is kept in the SNL tape library. Please observe the traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous and do not play this recording for commercial or entertainment purposes. Please do not break the anonymity of the speakers or any other AA member at the public level. Thank you.
And I want to work on my motorcycle. So I was wrenching away, greasy and dirty, and my close friend said, "Don't you have to be at Saturday Night Live at noon to speak on the sponsorship panel?" And I said, "Yeah, but I want to work on my bike." And he said, "You better remember the only reason you are able to work on your motorcycle is because you are a member of Alcoholics Anonymous." And that's pretty much all I needed to hear. So like I said, I'm here, and I'm glad you're all here. As far as the sponsorship thing, I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous for a little over 6 years. I'd like to state that I've had a sponsor since I had 5 days, not that I used him, but because I was in a meeting, I was new, and somebody, I had messed around with this program for probably 3.5 years prior to that time, and I had never had a sponsor. Well, that's not true. I had 3 female sponsors. I never worked with any of them. I tried. Never worked any kind of recovery process. And so when I came back this time, somebody that had seen me bounce in and out of these rooms for 3.5 years asked me if I was going to get a sponsor this time, and I said, "Well, probably." Right. And one of the persons that's my sponsor is up on the sponsor panel this morning, and he had got called on in a meeting, the same meeting where this gentleman asked me if I was going to get a sponsor or not, and all I remember about that was the fact that when he stood up there, he announced his name. And somewhere along his couple of minutes of talk sharing, he told the whole group how much time he had in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it was over 17 years at the time. And even though I only had 5 days and I didn't know a whole lot, I knew that 17 years was a real long time in my eyes. And that's about the only thing good that I felt out of that. What I noticed more of was the fact that he appeared to be somewhat older than me. Appeared. He dressed differently than I did. I heard somewhere in his sharing that he was a truck driver. So there were all these other things about the man that I felt didn't have anything to do with me. And for whatever I know what the reason is today. At the time, I didn't know. I guess I had an intuitive thought. After the meeting was over, I walked up to him and I put my hand out. Because it's like I was raised with some social skills before coming here. And I asked him if he would be my sponsor. And it was one of the hardest things I'd ever done up to that point in my life. And he kind of gave me a once-over. And let me explain to you, when I got sober, I was 135 pounds. I'm about 190 now. I was wearing all black leather at a new meeting in January. Black sunglasses, black fingerless gloves. I had a big knife strapped to the side of my pants. I had some brown cowboy boots that had been spray painted black. I was really cool. Sort of. And he kind of gave me a once over, when I had asked him to be my sponsor, it was like, you know, I was of this understanding that if you reach out, then you're just supposed to have everybody fall at your feet and try to help you. And the man, Jim, wasn't like that, still isn't. And he asked me really simply, just said, "Why?" And I got really angry because it was so difficult for me to ask to reach out that extra mile about sobriety and have a man ask me why. I didn't even have an answer. I didn't have time to lie. Okay, I didn't have time to think. What came out of my mouth was because I don't know how to stay sober and I need help to work the steps. And what he said was, "Well, I'm going to go to a coffee shop. I don't know what you're going to do." And I followed him like a puppy dog. And it was really humiliating because I don't know anything about Alcoholics Anonymous. All I know is I'm dying on the inside and I've come to this room and there's something here and I don't even know what it is. So I ended up in that coffee shop with him and he was doing what we do here. he was hanging out with other sober alcoholics. There was like four different men at that table that day, and they were showing pictures of out of their wallets. I remember them showing pictures, and me thinking, I don't belong here, because they were showing pictures of children. One guy was talking about gardening, and I'm sitting there trying to figure out in my brain, what does this have to do with not drinking? I don't belong here. I've made a mistake. My sponsor offered to ask me what I wanted to eat, and I said, and this is the kind of rapport we still have. He said, what do you want to eat? And I said, I don't have any money. And he said, I didn't ask you that. And it's like, I was already made to feel less than. You know, I was like, oh. And so I picked the cheapest thing on the menu because I just didn't even feel like I had that coming. And he paid for it, that's not the last thing he's ever paid for. But anyways, that was what my introduction, if you want to call it, to Alcoholics Anonymous was as far as sponsorship. I didn't know anything except I asked someone to be my sponsor. He drove me home. I had a big book from my previous experience with Alcoholics Anonymous, and he asked me to open it up. And I thought I was going to get the first big pearl, right? The sponsor now is going to fix me. I don't really know anything else except that I got a sponsor. And opened it up to the first page and said, put my sobriety date on there. He told me it would never have to change. And he told me, what's on the first page? And I said, nothing. And he said, well, that's what you know about recovery. And that was my initial introduction to what it's like to attain a sponsor. Like I said, I've been here for a while, and I've watched people go through this designer sponsorship stuff where they think they're supposed to figure out of their own thinking when they're brand new. If you really think about that, that's kind of confusing. How they're supposed to know what they need. Okay, if I knew what I needed, I wouldn't be an Alcoholics Anonymous. And what happened was I began my journey through Alcoholics Anonymous, my sponsor stressed strongly at 5 days dry, sober, whatever you want to call it, that I need to work the steps. I didn't believe that. In 5 days, I had recovered immensely. If you just asked me, I would have told you. So what I did was I hung out in Alcoholics Anonymous for a while, it took what it took for me to get willing to begin this process of the steps with my sponsor, and that was a wonderful deal because that was the first man that I ever established any sort of rapport with, any sort of understanding, any sort of trust. And like I said, I'm happy to report I have the same sponsor today. I haven't had to change sponsors because I don't like him or because he doesn't like me. I haven't changed my sponsor because my sponsor has continued to stay sober. And that's what I have a sponsor for, to show me how Alcoholics Anonymous works and to pass on his experience to me. In the process of all that, I got the gift of Alcoholics Anonymous. I got sobriety, and I also learned. The majority of my sharing is all stuff that I've learned here as a direct result of watching my heroes in Alcoholics Anonymous. I understand how important the lineage of people is here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I put a lot of importance in that because I need to know where my teachings came from. I mean, my teachings came from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's, we're 59 years old. I think the book was written in 35 and published in 39. I mean, I know all these things. I don't know if they'll actually help me stay sober one day, but I think it's important for me to know about my life. And Alcoholics Anonymous is my life. And what happened is I know my grand sponsor. My grand sponsor has a lot of time. That's important to me. I know who my great-grand sponsor is. And like I said, one of the greatest gifts was I got to get sober. I got the privilege of attaining sobriety because I was willing to, I wanted to recover. I did that through my sponsor. He showed me the book. He taught me the book. He taught me about the steps. He taught me the principles. He showed me all that stuff. And in the end result is I've got an enormous debt to Alcoholics Anonymous, which means I get to give this stuff away. And I'm happy to report that that I have sponsored people for a while now. I'm one of those people. I feel like I'm an active member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I feel like I do have something to offer, and apparently a lot of other people do because I do sponsor a fair amount of men. Some of them have stayed sober. As a matter of fact, I just walked through an experience where one of the guys that asked me to be a sponsor, I sponsored this man over the telephone, which I thought was kind of different because I didn't know we could do that. You know, I remember when it happened, a man called me up from Lake Tahoe I hadn't seen in a couple years, said, I want you to be my sponsor. And my first reaction to that on the telephone was, you haven't even seen me in a couple years. You don't know anything about what my life is going through right now. And he says, I know that you're sober. And so I started working with this other alcoholic, and he ended up moving down here. We lived together for about a year and a half. He got married. He got all the toys. He got all the stuff that he felt he needed. He stopped going to meetings. He stopped hanging out in the fellowship. And he's got about 18 days now. Okay? And when he had about 5 days, he came back to me and said, I got a new sponsor. And you remember something about me. A lot of my remarks and my attitudes I think I've developed because as a direct result of my sponsor. And so I'm kind of gearing you up for this. He said, I got a new sponsor. And I said, well, it doesn't really matter who the hell your sponsor is. If you don't do what your sponsor suggests and what your sponsor does, you don't get it. And he said, well, I've got a sponsor that's got a marriage that's lasted over 30 years. And I said, who cares if you're married if you can't even stay sober? And I'll tell you the truth, it kind of hurt my feelings that he changed sponsors. But I've been taught here that, you know what, my responsibility as a sponsor is to guide somebody through the steps so that they can stand up with a relationship with their own God, not me as a higher power, and pass that on. So and as far as that goes, I've been able to stay sober. So this gentleman left, went and worked with another guy. You know what, he came back 2 days ago. And he asked me to be a sponsor again because he said, I know him more honestly than anybody else does. And the reason that I know him is because he's worked steps with me. When you work steps with somebody, you have to kind of give up the whole truth about yourself. And that's a very difficult thing to do, but it's very necessary. The fifth step in the big book talks about if we skip this vital step, vital meaning life-threatening, that we may not overcome drinking. So you got to share who you are with the sponsor, you know, and I did that with my sponsor. Some of the things that I've learned as my own experience as I've stayed sober is sometimes it's difficult to be a sponsor. I want to be an outstanding member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I want to try to remain verbally non-judgmental. That's hard. You know, when you develop a relationship with another human being and you watch them and you see them going left to go down and fight with the gorilla that you've already fought with a couple of years ago, and they say, I can go do this. And you look at them and you go, and you think, no, you're not going to get away with this one guy. But you kind of have to try to turn that all around to your own personal experience and then kind of lay it on the table and say, you know, the gorilla beat the heck out of me. Maybe you're different. Right, you know, the alcoholic forever different that can't stay sober in Alcoholics Anonymous, and then I have to let them kind of go do that and learn their lessons. And you know what, I think the most important thing about sponsorship as far as I'm concerned is being a sponsor is something that I've learned how to do as a result of staying sober and watching my sponsor, and the joy of being able to just offer that to somebody gives me a feeling of self-worth and like I'm worthy, like I'm not such a taker in life. And you know what, like I said, I've been taught, and I believe it, that Alcoholics Anonymous is the only reason that I have a life. It's the only reason I have a life. It's not I don't have a right to be an Alcoholics Anonymous just because I'm an alcoholic. Being an Alcoholics Anonymous is a privilege as far as I'm concerned, and I treat it like that. And I owe. I can never repay the debt because I've been given a life here. So when Alcoholics Anonymous says go, I go. Unless something major trauma happens in between then, I show up. And like I said, the gift is that I get to stay sober, and I get the chance of living a good life. So one other thing I'd like to add about sponsorship is, you know what, there have been times when it was really difficult, when I had difficulties with my sponsor, when I was frightened to go to my sponsor. I don't know why anybody would be frightened of their sponsor, but there was a time, check this out, my sponsor was in the hospital, dying, literally dying from a deadly disease. And I was running around living my life, and I was having women problems. Okay? Now, I've been taught that this is the way I do it. I have a problem, I finally acknowledge the problem, and then I start talking about it, trying to get the good answer that I want, and then I don't get it, and then I talk to it about to some other people, and then finally, when it's no good anymore, I write an inventory. Well, it was I just couldn't imagine taking an inventory about a girl problem to a man who was dying, literally dying in the hospital. That's like, you know, quit sniveling. So I didn't. And somehow, this is how sponsors are. They hear about the stuff that's going on in your life, even though you could be 300 miles away. They hear about it. And he called me up. He says, I heard you got an inventory. I said, yeah. And the truth of the matter was, I was looking around, shopping around, trying to find someone to share it with, because I didn't want to bother him. And he told me, well, you better come down here and share it. And I had to do that. It was really humiliating to sit and cry about my problem as I watched a man walk through what he got to walk through, you know. And that really helped me to understand that you know what, we're supposed to do that here. We're supposed to help each other. We're supposed to be there no matter what. And that everybody gets a little bit on the trade-off behind sponsorship. So with that, I think I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to let one of the ladies come up here and talk about their experience, strength, and hope. Who would like to come up next?
I'm next sobriety.
Next sobriety, Terry. Thank you.
My name's Terry, and I'm an alcoholic.
Very good.
And why I'm talking on a sponsor panelship, I don't know. It's always an honor to be asked to share in Alcoholics Anonymous. And you know, when I got here, I didn't want to drink, and that was my only purpose for coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I couldn't figure it out. Y'all might as well have been speaking German, because I didn't understand what you were talking about. And it took me about 3 weeks to ask this woman, who sounded like a nice woman, to be my sponsor, because I didn't understand anything. And she seemed like a nice person, and my perception was a little off when I got here. And mine was an active meeting, huh? And I asked her to be my sponsor, and I didn't think I looked her in the eyes when I said it. And I was looking at the floor, which is where my eyes were usually when I got here. And she said, sure. And I thought, oh, maybe I'm going to have a friend. And I lovingly refer to this woman as the drill sergeant. And that's what she became in my life. And this woman spent a lot of time and she had a lot of patience, which was required. And she'd call me up on the phone and say, come over here, you're going to babysit my children. So I thought sponsorship and babysitting went hand in hand for a long time. And I didn't have children, I didn't like children, I didn't know what to do with these children, and I just showed up. It was just out of desperation that I did this. And that woman took me through the steps, and she spent a lot of time with me. Like I said, I wasn't hitting on all cylinders when I got here. And, you know, maybe I needed to babysit this woman's kids, I don't know. At one point she asked me she didn't know what to do with them, and I suggested cages, and I knew I was becoming a little more assertive. And through some circumstances, that relationship ended, and I got another sponsor. And who I got in the interim was my first friend. You know, at 7 months of sobriety, I called another woman in this program. It took me 7 months to be able to reach out. And she was a nice lady, and she talked. My big fear was I didn't have anything to say. So she did the talking, and it removed a little bit of the loneliness and a little bit of the isolation. And I told her about the circumstances with my sponsor, and she said, I'll sponsor you till you find somebody else. And what has happened for me through sobriety is I have a sponsor today. The woman has 25 years of sobriety. She remembers when Jim B. got sober. And when my back is up against the wall and I want an opinion, I want her opinion, because she's gone through a lot of living situations. I am not real intimate with this woman. And what has happened for me, there's a pamphlet out called A Member's Eye View. And it says, you know, the basic need of every human being is to be able to stand completely naked without any hesitation in front of another human being and know you're not going to be judged and you're not going to be laughed at, you're not going to be put down. And what has happened for me is that I have two close friends in this program, And I don't know if I'd consider them sponsors or not, but when I feel I have that kind of trust with them. I was not a real trusting person when I got here, and you know, thank God I had that woman in my life, because she called me, and a little tiny bit of trust was established, and then it was shattered. You know, I'll tell you, the trust between she and I was shattered, and ever since, that was 11 years ago, and I haven't had to have a drink. She found it necessary to drink again. But, you know, that's neither here nor there, except that I have a hard time trusting sponsors. And if you're new or if you're not new, and if you can't trust a sponsor, I think, you know, it's my opinion only. If you can't trust in this program, you probably are not going to stay. The only reason I started to trust was out of desperation. I was dying. And, you know, I didn't want to do that fifth step, and I didn't, my perception of my life was confused, you know, it was off. I know I didn't want to tell somebody I stole a horse at 16, you know, it's not a big deal. And it was top priority secret back then. And I did it out of desperation, because like James said, that part in the book that says we probably will not overcome drinking if we skip this vital step, and they're referring to step five, and I assume you have to have done a step four to do step five. And so I have had about five sponsors in this program. I move real slow with them. I call them periodically or when I get in trouble. And I have real close friends that I talk to on a daily basis, and we've established a certain amount of trust, and it's taken years. You know, I've known them 5 and 10 years, and so I don't trust easily. So if you don't trust easily, it's okay. And you know, it's been an honor. I consider it an honor to sponsor anyone in Alcoholics Anonymous, and to give away what has been given to me. And I don't consider it service work. I just consider it part of being sober. It was instilled in me early on that I had an obligation to Alcoholics Anonymous, and you know, when I first started sponsoring, I was running around taking this girl everywhere and trying to be this perfect sponsor, and I didn't want her to drink, and she was smoking PCP the whole time and driving, and I didn't even know it. I was riding with her. And it's through the women I sponsor that I grow. It is truly through the women I sponsor, and it's truly an honor to be a sponsor to someone, and I don't feel it's my business to tell them how to run their relationships. I don't think it's my business to tell them what to do with their finances. I don't give marital advice. I don't give financial advice. What I try and do is guide them into a solution if they're having a problem, and guide them through the steps. I think that's my only job as a sponsor. I don't, my sponsor is married. She's been married a long time. I call her periodically with relationship problems, and you know, she always mentions God. And I know today God is the solution for me. And I think sponsorship is a vital part of Alcoholics Anonymous. And if it's where you start to begin to unclothe, and you begin to trust just a little bit. And it's difficult at times, like James said. I've had people I sponsored that I didn't particularly like. And I took them through the steps to the best of my ability. And I've had people that I just absolutely adored and watched them go back out. And I don't think I keep anybody sober. Like James said, my job is to guide them through the steps and get them in touch with a higher power of their own understanding. Two girls fired me last week, and my feelings were a little hurt, but it's okay. And you know, if I have anything to offer anybody, I have 11 years of experience of not drinking and how I got through certain situations. And that's all. You know, I don't walk on water. I am not a saint. I'm not a guru. I'm not anything but an alcoholic. And I've made a lot of mistakes in sobriety. And I can pass on those mistakes. And I can pass on the things I've done correctly after making so many mistakes. Sponsorship is a vital part of Alcoholics Anonymous. Like I said, they could have been speaking German for all I knew when I got here. I had hit a low bottom. Everybody that talks always says how thin they were when they came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I weighed over 220 pounds, and I wore my husband's clothes, and I had a trench coat, and I sat in the back of the room, and I didn't talk to anybody. And my husband came in at the same time, and he would introduce himself, and he ran out and got a sponsor, and I didn't know what a sponsor was. I thought they should write a dictionary for sobriety words, you know, because I didn't understand what y'all were talking about. I didn't understand how words on a wall were going to keep me sober. I didn't understand how I was going to apply those in my life. And then they would mention principles, and I didn't know what the word meant. And it was through that first sponsor, she sat for hours with me, and she taught me how to literally carry on a conversation with another human being. I lacked in that department. I had a burden of Volkswagen when I got here, and I thought, I'll just get the book and figure this thing out. And I couldn't figure it out. You know, number one, I was reading out of the back of the book, and she was kind enough to point out that the first 164 pages is usually what people are referring to when they're talking about the big book. That's how confused I was when I got here. And, you know, I babysat those kids for a good 6 months, and I hated it. And I would help clean up her house, and she would tell me to come over and take care of these two little monsters and take them to a noon meeting, and I would just get humiliated because they'd run all over the room and I didn't know what to do with them. And then take them home and take them swimming, and I smiled one day when I was in the pool with these two kids, and I had to go to her and say, I don't know what that was. And she said, maybe you were having fun, Terry. This is how basic this woman made it for me. She had me drinking orange juice and honey because I had alcohol withdrawals and I didn't know what to... I thought I had the flu continually, you know. I just felt bad. And she took me through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And like I said, I'm no expert on sponsorship. I make a lot of mistakes when I sponsor. And I'm not real intimate with my sponsor. I call her when my back gets up against the wall. My friends I'm very close to, I've written a lot of inventories recently, and I call them, and I hesitate on nothing. And I get their feedback, their honest feedback. They're not there as a friend, they're there to save my life. And this woman that I thought was going to be so nice and so friendly turned out to be like a drill sergeant. And she said, I'm not here to be your friend, Terry, I'm here to save your life. And I understood a little bit more about what a sponsor was. I wasn't there to be her babysitter. I didn't have anything to do with my life. When you removed alcohol, I had nothing left. And she kept me active in Alcoholics Anonymous, and she instilled in me that obligation to give it back. You know, it took me probably a year to be able to answer my phone on a regular basis. I couldn't answer it when I got here. And, you know, I kept the drapes drawn, and just, I couldn't go to the grocery store when I got here. And she would sit down and say, okay, you need to make a list, go to the store, get the groceries. And half the time I'd just leave the basket and have to leave, you know. I was all done. And I'd take my bird to the grocery store with me. I was not a wonderful prospect to sponsor. I don't think I was easy to sponsor. She'd call me and say, how are you? And I'd say, my bird is molting. And she'd say, well, does that mean you're okay, or what's the deal? You know, I literally could not carry on a conversation. You know, I don't have any words of wonder to tell you if you're new or on sponsorship. You know, it's an intimate journey, or it has been for me, and it's taken a lot. I don't trust easily, and it's taken a lot of time for me. The sponsor I have right now, I had for 3 years before I moved to Oregon, and I got her back. And she said, when I had 6 years of sobriety, Terry, let me in. I won't hurt you. And it's just been a real, real slow process for me. And I didn't talk for 20 minutes, but I'm sure Jim can make up that time. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Joanna. I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, it is a nice honor to be asked to speak on sponsorship. I don't know, you know, you think, well, what can I say? And I guess what I could say is just my experience of sponsorship. I came into this fellowship in 1983, and it took me a little bit of time in the beginning to understand what was going on here. And I was told some basic things, and I was taught some basic things here. And when I began to understand the nature of my disease, I was also shared with that it was important that I work with others. I had a lot of problems with self. And, you know, I found that when I was around people, I didn't feel that much better, but I felt a titch better. And I began to understand very minimally at the time that it was important for my healing to be with other people. I began to recognize a need to be needed by you, and for me to be needed, to need you in my life at the time. And I remember at 30 Days of Sobriety, someone asked me to sponsor them. And I hadn't even gotten a sponsor myself yet. People voluntarily sponsored me when I got here. That means that they just hung on to me and shoved this program down my throat. That's the kind of person I was. I came in here very wise, a very highly evolved spiritual being that knew all the answers, just didn't know why I kept drinking the way I did. It was people that took the time to be with me and babysit me and do all kinds of things with me. They gave me their time, they gave me their love, and then they gave me some knowledge. Every step along the way, the answers began to come. And it wasn't too long before I realized I was dealing with a disease that was going to take me out in a heartbeat unless I did something. A part of it was, again, that if I'm going to work steps and I'm going to get into this solution, then I'm going to need to share my inventory with somebody as well. I didn't ask somebody to be my sponsor till I got ready to deliver a fifth step to somebody. I got information about alcoholism through all of you and through the Big Book and through a man that sent me a set of tapes to give me some information about alcoholism. And when I really understood the nature of my malady is when I really went forward and started working the steps. I took a third step, and I realized that I was going to turn my will and my life over and to commit my life to this way of life. I did a fourth step and then asked a woman in this fellowship to hear my fifth step, because that's what the book said, find somebody to hear your fifth step. And then when I went over to her house that night, I said, well, I guess I'm supposed to ask you to be my sponsor. I mean, I guess that's what a sponsor's for, right? It's to do this. I wasn't much on going to people for help, you know. What for? I looked around at this group of drunks and thought, Jesus Christ, where can you get help in a place like this, you know? These people are crazy, you know. So I never was one to try to connect with people for advice. I didn't really want their advice, to be real honest. I didn't really like when people gave me advice. I had some real loving people in my life, and I guess like Terry and James and the rest of us up here, we're not experts on sponsorship. I think what I've been given the privilege of is to be able to work with other people. There's a lot about working with others in our Big Book. There's a lot of great information in that chapter about working with others, because I don't think you can put sponsorship in a box. You know, we hear a lot of opinions about sponsorship, but my experience with sponsorship has gone just for 11 years has been different with every person. In April, I asked a woman to be my sponsor, and she heard my first fifth step. And this woman in my life was a very nurturing person, Pat G. She was very big, and she was very loving, and she was very gentle. And when I came into AA, I didn't need... It seemed like this is exactly what I needed, was a woman that accepted me for who I was. I needed some gentle love. I needed someone to put her arms around me and tell me it was okay, and that I was okay, and to welcome me in that way. And that's what I got from this woman. And I'm one that didn't stick with the same sponsor through the 11 years simply because my sponsors would move away or circumstances would change. And I had to change along with those changes. It wasn't too far into my early sobriety that I was asked to sponsor somebody. I kind of was leery about that, but you assured me that I needed to work with other people. And so I began that journey. I remember when someone asked me to do their first fifth step with me, I felt it was such an honor to be able to hear what someone was willing to share with me. It was like a relationship of trust. You know, this person trusts me enough to share who they are with me, what their resentments are, what their fears are. And I believe today, as I look back over my life in Alcoholics Anonymous, that sponsorship has been a great gift to me, because it's allowed me to work with you, and it's allowed you to work with me. And I believe still the very basic principle in this program of one alcoholic helping another alcoholic. and how that turns out in every relationship I've ever had, whether I've had sponsors or sponsorees, they're all unique and priceless and different. Some people will tell me, I want you as my sponsor because you'll kick my ass. I'm too tired to kick people's asses today. I had a lot more spunk years ago. Read this book or get out of my face. But my levels of sponsorship have changed because I have changed. There was a time when I was that way, either do this or get out of my face, because I was scared of getting drunk. Some people say that sponsors aren't counselors or therapists. That's true, but some of us try to be sometimes. I think sponsorship takes on so many different levels. I've been a friend. I've developed intimate personal relationship with the girls I've sponsored. There have been people that I've absolutely abhorred in this program, and they're inevitably the women that have come up and said, will you be my sponsor? I go, oh, no. But and I'd always say yes because I felt that was my job to say yes, because I wanted to stay sober. And inevitably, these women would be my guiding lights. They would be great lights to my life. I believe in the principle of one person working with another for healing. I don't believe we can heal alone here. I believe that we have to heal with each other. And sponsorship affords us an opportunity to be able to heal. I've always resisted people. I'm a judgmental person. I came into AA and there wasn't one person here that I really liked. I could always find something wrong with you. I'm a great inventory taker, your inventory. So it was a privilege to be able to hear your inventory firsthand. And inevitably, when I heard your inventory, it woke me up to me in my inventory. I began to realize that it was a precious thing that we have here, one person working with another. In sponsorship for me, I've had loving sponsors. I've had sponsors that were able to tell me the truth, that were able to share their experience, strength, and hope with me. Sponsors that on every level of my life have brought me what I have needed, sometimes not what I wanted, but what I've needed. And I learned to trust this process through other people. I had good sponsorship here, loving women and 12-stepping women, and all the women that I've had that have sponsored me have stayed sober. I never had a sponsor go out and drink. I don't think. No, I've never had a sponsor that went out and drank. They're all longtime members of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I think I'm real privileged to have the sponsorship that I have, and I think I've been real privileged to sponsor women in this fellowship. I've sponsored lots and lots of women in this fellowship. And there are some women that I still sponsor today that I've had almost since day one. And what I could say about that is our relationships have changed through the years. People say sponsors shouldn't be your friends. Well, sometimes we are and sometimes we're not. You know, sometimes it just depends on the relationship with the person. I know that I've had sponsors that just say, answer the phone and say, do you have an inventory for me? Because if you don't, click, you know. I've had sponsors that have told me the truth when I want to hear the truth. And I've been that way too. I guess what I can say today about sponsorship in Alcoholics Anonymous is that we need one. We need a sponsor. I don't believe we can work this program alone. I don't believe we can work these steps alone. That's not what my book says. And that as a sponsor today, I try to be there for the girls that I have taken on. To be whatever it is that I can share with them. To share my experience, strength, and hope with them. To share what's in the book from what I perceive it to be with them. If they have a relationship problem, I can help with it, and I've had that experience. I will. If I didn't, I try not to insert my opinion too much, but I do. I'm a human being. I just know that sponsorship, I've been given that honor to sponsor, and I've had some wonderful sponsors in this program. And today I know that I will continue to have the women in my life that I do, and I've been one of those people that know the value of that. And I hope I never forget the value of sponsorship. When I'm in my most down times in life, working with another alcoholic has always saved the day. And I've been one of those people that have gone out to recovery houses and stuff like that just to work with people. I work with people whether they're my sponsorees or not, because the value of one alcoholic helping another is what helps us to heal, and I know that. So thank you for asking me to share, and I'm going to turn the meeting over to Jim B. now.
Alcoholics, it's quite a concept around this place. I love Alcoholics Anonymous with my whole being. I'm sponsored by a man. Today's his 33rd birthday. Today he celebrates 33 years out of the penitentiary. That's a long time. When a psychiatrist at San Quentin told him that he couldn't be on the street unmedicated. Psychiatrist is probably long dead. Johnny's been on the street a long time. He's in Oklahoma City today. I wish he was home or in San Jose. I'm not having a good day. I'm tired. I didn't sleep. I talked to a man this morning who's 26 years sober. He's laying in a hospital bed in San Francisco. His name's Keith Carpenter. Where's Yolanda? Yolanda, Keith Carpenter is in UC San Francisco. Call him. Yeah. Anyway, he's a good friend. I spent yesterday with him. I told him I wouldn't sleep last night. He slept good last night. He's going to have minor surgery tomorrow or Monday, and he's sponsored by my sponsor's sponsor. I told James mentioned lineage. I'm sponsored by a man named Johnny Harris. Johnny Harris is sponsored by a man named Clancy Emerson. Clancy Emerson was sponsored by a man named Chuck Chamberlain. Chuck Chamberlain is the only man in AA that I respected never had a sponsor. He said he used everybody for a sponsor. Mm-hmm. And now Clancy uses a guy named Cecil, I believe. And just that's the way it is. My sponsor's got a sponsor. My sponsor's sponsor's sponsor. The guys that I sponsor all work with others. Now I suggest stuff more than the steps to people that I sponsor. They know that I know not too much about relationships. They know I know not too much about having a whole lot of money in the bank. I like to spend money. They know that I know that they're going to get a job. They know that I know that they're going to drive a vehicle, they're going to have insurance and a driver's license. So I do more with people that I sponsor than work steps. You know, I don't know how to do nothing when I got there. I don't know how to do zip. Zippity-doo-dah. And I had a guy named Norm Matthews. Norm Matthews taught me how to do this deal. Norm Matthews had me out in a 12-step call every night of the week. I wanted to rest, and he wouldn't let me rest. And so I've been working with others ever since I got to AA, and I'm sober 23 and a half years in 3 weeks. And I like being sober a long time. There's only a handful of us in this valley. There's more men than women active in AA over 20 years sober in this valley. That's a shame. But I've been doing the deal since I showed up to Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, Norm taught me how to do all that. You know, when the phone rings, the answer is yes. That's quite a concept. Norm quit doing it and got drunk. I've been doing it and I'm still sober. There's a lot of men, there's some men and women in this valley that told me or told everybody that I would never make it. I'm glad to report that they're not right as of today. As of today, I haven't wanted to drink in 10 years. And I'm sober 23 and a half. I had that desert thirst in 1984, and some of you people were with me during that time. My kid was with me that time. That was not a good time. Not a good time in my life. Embezzlement in the business and a divorce, and damn near broke my back. Damn near killed me. And I'm still here. I survived it. James, I was laying on my couch this morning at 3 o'clock thinking. I was craving to think. I could have called Oklahoma City's general central office, got the phone number of the hotel where my sponsor's staying, But I didn't do that. I just came to think. And I'm laying there, and I pulled my 49er blanket. I got a queen-size 49er blanket on my couch, and I pulled that over me. The 49er blanket was given to me by a man that I sponsored when I was in the hospital. Some of you were there that day. I had two kinds of leukemia, and I was dying. And this guy gave me a blanket, 49er, expensive blanket. We're talking, I don't come cheap, you know what I mean? And then he asked me to sponsor him, and I didn't want to give him his blanket back. So I've been sponsoring this guy ever since. And one day, another man who I talked to this morning, I was shivering off the bed, this hospital bed. I was on a cold sheet, so I had like 105 temperature or something way out of line. And they couldn't get my temperature down. And I had these chills, and I'm shivering, I'm just bouncing and my teeth around, and I'm dying, man. And this guy put this blanket over me along with other blankets and laid on top of me and warmed me up. And that's what I get out of sponsorship. These people that I sponsor, these men and a woman that I sponsor, will go to hell with me because I'll do that with them. I trust the people I sponsor with my life because they are my life. Alcoholics Anonymous is my life. I don't not trust anybody. I don't sponsor anybody I don't like because I would do them a disservice. If I don't like some jackass, I'm not going to sponsor. I don't want to sponsor anybody that don't want to do the deal. If they don't want to do the deal, they go down the road and get somebody else, some jackass that wants to hang out outside. Because there's a lot to do in Alcoholics Anonymous. There's a line in the big book that says that if working with others is an opportunity you must not miss. Not that some of us will miss it, but it's an opportunity that you must not miss. There's a line there's a solution. I'm going to not mess this one up. Because this is what I think the essence of sponsorship is. Mm-hmm. Stand by. Yeah. It's right here. It's in this book, and it's on page 29. This is for you idiots that want to work your own program. Further on, it says here in this book, clear-cut directions are given showing how we recovered. These are followed by 43 personal experiences. Clear-cut directions. My sponsor gives me clear-cut directions. When he first started sponsoring me 8 years ago, 8 years ago this month, on his birthday, I had to write an inventory and have it in the mail to him. He lives in Long Beach, and I had to have it in the mail, and he had to be reading that in front of him when I talked to him. And I talked to him about what I had written down. No idle chatter, no bullshit. Somebody told me one day, I was there, that I'd get rid of people on the phone easier than most people. Because I'm not into idle chatter. I don't need it. I'm busy. I'm busy. I'm busy in life. Life is in session. I've had nine sponsors. The first one got drunk. Harvey Warren, nobody in here knows Harvey. Harvey died when I was sober 6 months. He was 24 years sober. Beautiful man, very active in AA. And then Harvey died. And when no one got drunk, I got Harvey for a sponsor because I didn't think Harvey'd ever drink. Because that broke my spirit when Norm drank. You know, I went to his house. And I was yelling at him, like, how dare you? Now, here's a guy that helped me with my life. And he drank. Guess what? Alcoholics do that. That's a newsflash. Alcoholics do that. But then I got Harvey because he'd never drink again. And then Harvey died. Died of open heart surgery. I went to see Harvey. The day before he died. He died early in the morning, like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I went to see him in the hospital. I'm 24 years old, I'm 6 months sober. And I'm cool, too. I was, you know, the youngest member in the valley. That was cool. And I went to tell Harvey about all my woes because I had her. You know, we got married when I was 6 weeks sober because I was different. And we weren't getting along. I made it 3 years with that woman. Huh? I was committed. Crazy. And I went to tell him my woes, and Harvey told me his. This guy, my God, my idol, was there in that hospital bed telling me that had he lived, he'd have been an invalid, and he wouldn't have made it, man. That would have killed him. So then I got another sponsor, a guy named Jack C. Some of you have heard Jack here. Jack Clements lives in Maple Valley, Washington. When I was 6 years sober, Jack moved. Then I got another sponsor, then I moved. And then I ran through about four sponsors in Monterey. Like Tom O'Neill. Tom O'Neill was a great guy. Real active in AA. His sponsor was Clancy Emerson. And Tom was my sponsor for a while. Then he told me for me to have him for a sponsor, I had to be at the men's stag meeting on Friday nights. And I told him what to do with the men's stag meeting. And him too. And when he died, we were good friends. I got another sponsor. He was a multimillionaire in Carmel Valley Village. The man had what I wanted. All these men that I've had for sponsor have been sober longer than me. By quite a long time. Like 2 years. Jack Clements is 2 years sober longer than me. Johnny Harris is 10 years sober longer than me. Always has been. Always will be. I moved back to San Jose and I got another sponsor in 1985. Kevin and I moved back to San Jose, my little boy. And I got another sponsor, a man named Ole Olson. Ole Olson's a crazy son of a gun. He's just a beautiful guy, and he's 36 years sober and just incredible. He just beat cancer. Ole had the nerve to move without asking my permission. Ole moved to Sonora. And he's doing well. I talked to him last week. When Ole moved, I looked around Santa Clara Valley, and there was a guy named Jim Riley that I was going to have for a sponsor. A couple of you know Jim. Jim Riley was a great guy. I just love Jim Riley. Neat guy. Owned a big electronics outfit. He's a great guy. Lived in Saratoga. Just wonderful. Working with others. Jim Riley died in 3 months. Cancer. And I looked around Santa Clara Valley, and the scary thing for me at that time was there was nobody in Santa Clara Valley that I wanted to ask to be my sponsor. And at the same time, it was June of 86, I asked Johnny to sponsor me, and my life changed. My life is good. I've always had a sponsor. If you don't have a sponsor, you're sponsoring an idiot. You're your own sponsor. It's important. It's important for me to let that man know what I'm doing. There's things that I've done he didn't agree with. Sooner or later, I won't do them. Some of them I still did. I was talking with somebody yesterday. I believe in professional help with other things other than alcoholism. Other problems other than alcoholism. I don't push it. I don't sponsor people that have a therapist. I sponsor a man that has a marriage counsel and all this stuff. And there's big semantics, and you can disagree or agree. I don't give a damn. I don't sponsor people that are on medication for any reason. That's just the way I am. There's people that will. There's other people. I'll steer them to other people. That's just the way I am. I don't understand it. I understand more today than I did a year ago. But that's the way it is. Sponsorship is, you know, there's a lot of things that are important in AA. Sponsorship is one of them. I love the men and women that I sponsor. Love them with all my heart. I had a guy, my favorite guy, went out and got drunk after his third birthday. He was my favorite for 3 years. He's still drinking. He's controlling or enjoying, I don't know which. But I was talking to him about him today. Love this kid. See, and the beauty of being alcoholic, because he's a real alcoholic, he's going to have to come back to AA or die. That's two choices you got if you're new here and you want to do it by yourself. You can either drink or get sober. Very simple. Sober is better. And the first word, this is something I thought when Terry was talking, the first word in the first edition to the preface of Alcoholics Anonymous in the first edition of the big book is we. Mm-hmm. Important word. We. We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women. AA next Friday will be 59 years old. AA works real good with one alcoholic talking to another alcoholic about alcoholism. A primary purpose. A singleness of purpose. This is why AA is 59 years old next Friday. What a concept. One alcoholic talking to another alcoholic. Works real good. I'm happy that I'm a sponsor. It's exciting. It's work. It's hard. Its payoff is tenfold. If you're going to miss working with others, you just miss the whole deal. You miss the whole deal. So I'm going to thank Mary Farmer for allowing me the privilege to participate. I just talked to the guy last night. He's still sober, but he came in and I was shooting morphine. I was doing morphine drip in the hospital. And I heard his footstep. I heard his footstep in two different settings because I nodded on the first one. But open heart surgery. I don't understand. I'm a truck driver who happens to be an alcoholic, or an alcoholic who happens to be a truck driver. I'm not mentally ill. I have no mental problems that I'm aware of. So I don't even understand it, so I don't deal with it. Remember, we deal with alcohol. I don't tell anybody not to take any medication. I used to tell people not to take medication off given to them by doctors. I used to tell them that. And that could kill alcoholics. I just learned that. And we got Prozac pushers in AA. That's just the way it is. We got people that think Prozac is a cure for alcoholism. We got people that this one guy especially I wanted to shoot last week. He's a Prozac boy. I don't have nothing to do with that. I don't understand it. I'm a truck driver. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a medical doctor. I sponsored a guy that was doing lithium, has to do lithium, which is just a salt. I went to his doctor with the guy. He was told that he can't stay, he's not sober if he's taking lithium. And this guy goes bananas and ends up in the nut house when he didn't take lithium. That's just, he's got this problem that I don't have. And so I started sponsoring this guy. After he knocked on my door at 3 in the morning crazy, wanted to drink and said sober. And he's, Christ, I saw him in Monterey, he's got 17, 18 years married, just doing well. Because of some asshole that told him you're not sober. I made that mistake. I've made that, and I won't do it again. But I can't sponsor anything I don't understand. Maybe.
Sure you can, Jim.
Yeah.
Tell them to call their doctor.
Yeah, okay.
Principle
work. Yeah. Somatics.
We know that. I'm
getting somatics. I've known these people for 20 years, 22 years. But, you know, tell them the somatics. I don't do what I don't understand. I can't help them. Thanks.
Well, the first thing I do is, I find out how much sobriety, get to talking to them. How much sobriety do you have? When did you come in? So on and so forth. And then pick it up from there. I'm a big book person myself, and I like to know that someone has read a little bit of a book, but some people don't. And I think I make just an initial contact with that person, and find out basically a little bit about that person and where they're at in the program and stuff like that, and go from there. The crux of the program for me is steps. How many meetings are you going to? The basics, just the basics. I think basics are real important. I think you start out that way, begin the process of the steps. I think that that's really essential. then you develop a relationship as time goes on with that person, of course, but initially, where are you at, what's going on, and, you know, where are we at in the steps here, and what do we have to do? You know, basically, is how I start out. Anybody else?
I have an answer to that, too. My first question to when someone asks me to sponsor them is, why do you want to sponsor? Because a lot of times someone will ask me to sponsor them and they'll say, well, I need somebody to talk to sometimes. And see, I get asked a lot to be sponsored, and it's like, I'll tell them my experience, you know what, if you want to sponsor because you want to stay sober and you want to work steps, then I'll be more than happy to go to hell with you. But if you just want someone to call up and snivel to about A, B, C, or D, or you want somebody to give you a ride to a meeting, you need to go get a different kind of sponsor, because that's what I believe the fellowship is for. I have a sponsor to take my alcoholic problems to and through the process of how to get through them. I have the fellowship if I want to look for a job. You know, I mean, I use the fellowship for all other things except for my recovery. That's my experience. Go ahead. Before they start, Dr. Bob had about a minute. If I'm been sober one day, I got something to tell a drunk. And that's bullshit. There's stuff goes on about the other day. I was at my home group, and they were going to elect a GSR for this particular meeting, and they said, well, you have to have 6 months. I'm glad they didn't have to when I got sober. I'd still be drunk. And I didn't know a damn thing about GSR. I went into San Quentin when I was 3 weeks sober. It was guy out in Eastside. Went into San Quentin where James used to live. And they had that meeting so far back in there, and I was cute. You know what I mean? And I was scared. But I didn't know nothing about HIV. I had never been in penitentiary. I went to Elmwood for 3 months, stayed there 6 because I liked it. And just because I was cool. But I didn't know nothing about San Quentin Prison. I just knew about the movie. And I didn't like the movie. So I was walking through the yard with this cop, and I'm looking for Bubba, you know, making sure Bubba don't think I'm too cute. And I'm back in H&I. I've got a meeting next week. And
I'd like to say something too in address to your question. We have to remember that we need to sponsor people just as much as we need to have sponsors. I think it's real important. I think the crux is that as a sponsor, I get just as much from that person I'm sponsoring as that I do. It's one alcoholic helping another. And I really encourage people that aren't sponsoring, because like Jim said before, I have been one of those ladies that has been asked many, I mean, I was sponsoring as much as 40 women at one time. This was in early sobriety when I had nothing else to do, no job. But the truth is that I was on the firing lines a lot. And I think for the new women and women that are in this program, especially, and the men, but women, I'm talking to the ladies too, that if you have some time in the program or a little bit of time and you want to sponsor, I encourage people to sponsor. Put your name in the temporary sponsor box and be there for somebody. They may not stay there. You know, people move around. But it's important that we are able to share our experience, strength, and hope with each other. And it's important that we sponsor as well as have a sponsor. You know, I was asked almost 30 days to be a sponsor. You're going to be asked from almost the minute that you get here to work with other alcoholics. I think it's very important that we do that. That is part of the program, is we do this in twos, not just by ourselves.
I want to be the 10%er. I've always been sober. I've been one of the 10%ers. Now, the new people, the 10%ers, are the people that do all the work. I just gave them the benefit of doubt at this place. But the 5%ers of alcohol and Alcoholics Anonymous do all the work for them. 95% of the people come and sit on their ass competing. And that's just the way they're crying. I mean, the little lady Mary, she needed H&I people to help at the VA hospital. I don't like them jackasses at the VA hospital. I haven't been there in years. They might have changed. And I got to go next week. Because I don't want to go next week if the answer is yes.
If you're asked to do anything in AA, the answer is yes. It makes it awful simple. It kind of works better when you're not by yourself. Sometimes I've been in dangerous situations by myself on 12-step talk. But I went out to Saratoga on a 12-step call from Jane
Corbett.
I was like, I wanted a red light on my car. You know, I was out saving lives every day, and I'm about a month sober. And I went out to see Fred, different Fred, not our Fred. We got a Fred here. I went out to see old Fred. Fred had this gorgeous home. He's a big-time real estate guy. A gorgeous home in Saratoga, and I just loved that. And he's got a Cadillac in the driveway. He's an alcoholic Cadillac, and I had a Chevy, you know what I mean? And I just go, I'm sober, Fred. And I go knock on the door, and Fred answers the door. And Fred told Jane he was going to kill himself. Fred's wife is upstairs on a Valium overdose. I go into his little office in his house, and Fred's got a 357 Magnum on the desk. And I sit down across the desk. And I shouldn't have been by myself. And I split this little 357 around, twirled it around. And I said, Fred, you know what the penalty for suicide is? He said, what? Did he die? I said, death. But why don't you put this away? Fred's still sober in Denver. You know what I mean? Just because I showed up. Not an alcoholic showed up. Not because it was me. But I told him, I said, I took him from there, I took him to lunch at the liar's table, because that's where a whole bunch of real estate people were. And I took him to the plate, just like a woman on PMS. I sent him to the plate. Somewhere else, get the hell out of here. See, the book tells us that we can go to any sordid place, that God will keep us unharmed if our motives are good. Which I've done some 12-step work where I got a call one time and I was asked to show up because there was a person that was suicidal. And I showed up and I didn't want to bring, I was with a woman and I left the woman in the truck and I went in this apartment complex and I stayed in there 4.5 hours. I got so involved with this guy, I forgot she was down in the truck. She thought I was up there drinking and amusing and partying. And I was able to help this dude. He didn't stay sober. He hung out with us for about a week. But it's kind of one of those things where, you know what, we learned here that, you know what, if someone needs help, you go. If you can grab somebody, then fine. But, you know, if you don't leave an alcoholic out there alone, if they're reaching out. There have been times when I haven't been able to get somewhere. And what I've done is call another person in the fellowship. That's why it's so important to know other people and have phone numbers and call. And, I mean, there's a hotline that runs through the fellowship. Where, you know what, if you can't get there, you call someone else, you say, we got a drunk over here, and we all try to help each other.
Says if you decided you love what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it. And if I'm working with a man or a woman that don't want to do the deal, I can't help them. I don't throw anybody away. I don't fire people. I just, they leave. Like if I didn't do what my sponsors told me to do, if I wasn't an active member of AA, Johnny would not sponsor me. He hasn't got time for jackasses. And that's a judgment call.
And it also tells us that in the book when we're working with others, that if someone doesn't really want it, there's nothing really we can do, just because there's a lot of people that do, so not waste our time with someone that doesn't. You know, a lot of us get concerned about people out there, you know, God, they're doing this or that. But a lot of times, through my experience, I've had to let, and there's a lot of times where I say, I want them sober, you know, but There's really nothing we can do, you know. I know that when I worked steps and I got into the business because I wanted to do it, you know, and that's just the bottom line.
James.
Unfortunately, we can't make people do it.
James asked me to sponsor him this afternoon. He was almost a legend already. You know, 5 days. He's cool. He was cool. This kid, this young man was cool. And he asked me to sponsor him because I was old. Doc, I'm a grandfather. I'm old. And then he asked me to sponsor him because he knew I knew nothing about narcotics, because I'm just an alcoholic. And then he asked me to sponsor him because he knew I knew nothing about the Department of Corrections. And then when we went out to coffee that afternoon, he knew he made a mistake.
Joyce? I want to comment on that. Maybe I misunderstood your question. But on the other side of that, if someone can go down and get a sponsor, and then they don't turn out to be a sponsor, they turn out to be a boss or an ex-therapist or whatever, you know, telling people what to wear and when to wear and so I would say to anybody that gets a sponsor, to read the sponsorship pamphlet. We have a pamphlet in AA about what sponsors do and what they don't do. And look around, and if you don't have a sponsor, then I would find one. I also don't like the terminology hire. I don't hire and I don't fire. I ask and I don't ask. But I would advise anybody that has a sponsor that is doing everything for their success with them to find an AA sponsor that can direct them and how to work this program. And from my experience in doing that, God turned out to be my God, not my sponsor. I love my sponsor, and if she died today, I'd be devastated. And I do want my sponsor to death because she is an AA sponsor. And, but we're not everything. She doesn't sponsor people on that day. I think she's judgmental. I'm hysterical. But I love her, and she works with them. She believes in the tradition, but God teaches them. And I'm not going to leave her. I just disagree with her. So I don't know if your question was about getting a sponsor. Can you change or can the sponsor?
And Joyce, you're giving some real good advice, because a lot of times in sponsorship what we want to do is we kind of get our will in there and we want to tell people what to do or what we think they ought to do. And really, that isn't what it's about. We can give our opinion first, and that person doesn't have to agree with it. And there's a lot of things that go on in AA, like do this, do this, do this, that have nothing to do with AA, you know. And I think that we have to watch that in sponsorship as well as with other sponsors, because I've had sponsors tell me things, and it didn't have any, it was an outside issue. And we're not here to play God with people, you know, or we're really not. Sometimes we get that, thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate it.
If they want what I have, they'll do what I do. Simple.
My name is Tim, an alcoholic. I'd like to thank everybody for coming this afternoon and listening to our sponsorship time.